Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. President Obama's recent push for job creation and job training programs is music to the ears of the people who run community colleges in this country. This is a policy in which they can and do play a huge role. The two-year institutions may not be for everyone, but they are for adults in need of training or retraining and students looking for specialized courses in so-called middle skills, such as computer technicians, machinists, draftsmen, or other careers that don't require four-year degrees. They are also a bargain considering the soaring costs of four-year institutions. Community colleges in our area have graduated hundreds of thousands of students over the years. What they do and how they do it is our subject today. A little bit later, we'll be talking with the president at Southwestern Illinois College, Dr. Georgia Costello, but we begin with Dr. Dennis Michaelis, interim chancellor of the St. Louis Community College System. He's been with the system for just a few months, having come to us from Texas. Dr. Michaelis, nice to have you with us. Welcome belatedly to St. Louis.
Thank you. It's very nice to be here. I'm enjoying my time in St. Louis, Missouri.
What was the enticement to come up? You had retired in Texas. Just got tired of nothing to do?
Well, no, that's not a good way to put it, because I have to tell you that I was very busy during my career 4.5 years ago, a little over 4.5 years ago, I retired. And it was the right thing to do at the right time. And the college I left gave them an opportunity to change leadership and find new directions, which is always a healthy thing, I think, for a community college, for any college, probably for any organization. But after 4.5 years, I got to the point where I found it interesting. I wasn't ready to take just any position, but when St. Louis opportunity came along, I took a closer look. It appeared to me that that this was an opportunity to make a real contribution to the world of community colleges and to the people of St. Louis and certainly to the students who attend here.
Can someone who is in a job like that, though, in an interim capacity, really get things done?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, not every time that leadership changes is an interim necessary. Most of the time it's not. But I think in this particular instance, the board took a look at all the different issues it was facing and decided that it would be good to have a transition. And they asked me if I could come for 18 or 20 months. I agreed that I would be able to stay until the end of June of 2015. And so there is a time definite when I will leave St. Mm-hmm. Louis Community College. But I think it gives us enough time to do some things that need to be done, some hard decisions that need to be made. The college has had enrollment drop, and that, of course, impacts the budget. And there have been various kinds of issues that really need attention. And not that anyone was doing anything wrong or poorly, but because that's just not my point to my place to really make a judgment. But the thing that was important to me as I listened to the board, as they interviewed me and I interviewed them, was that it was very clear to me that the members of the board absolutely love St. Louis. And it was clear to me that they love St. Louis Community College. And it was also clear that they absolutely love the students who come to St. Louis Community College. And those were three very strong building blocks that I felt I could work with, that I could come here and help make a difference. And so you ask why would I leave retirement, and that's kind of the answer, because I felt like I could make a difference.
Well, you came to the system at a time when there were concerns over security at one of the campuses.
Yes.
I think that's probably one of the main reasons that you are here. How have you approached that? What kind of hard decisions have had to be made as a result of that situation?
Well, you know, of course, that all happened well before I came. And I will tell you that the board has taken very strong action to resolve all those issues. And in fact, we do have a study that has just been commissioned by an outside organization that has a tremendous reputation in looking at law enforcement, public safety, and all those kinds of issues. You know, one of the most important things that you can do, I mean, it's just the bedrock of any college, is the safety and security of your students and faculty, your employees. It absolutely must be a given. It shouldn't even be a thought. It should simply be a given.
Particularly these days.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, I mean, you know, and you read, it's all over the country. It's not St. Louis. It's all over the country. Unfortunately, these are things that have just happened in our society as things have moved along. But I will say unequivocally that the Board of Trustees of St. Louis Community College have done a great job of taking this matter into very serious consideration and in making moves toward seeing that the issues are resolved. And I feel, you know, as the results of this study come in, they have the will to see that the recommendations are appropriate and that they are implemented to the best of our ability. And so I'm proud to be a part of seeing that moves along in a timely fashion.
What sort of changes have been made, though, as a result of the problems at Merrimack?
Well, I think the number one thing, and I think probably where the breakdown really occurred, and of course I've read the report that came out, you know, not long after that the board commissioned, and I think that the primary problem was the lack of communication between the administration on the campus, the central the district administration, the police officers who were involved. And of course, you know, it's not my place to, you know, as a person just coming in to place blame or anything like
sure.
that. The idea is to find solutions. And so I think that, as I said, the board's done a good job of taking this matter, paying a great deal of attention to this matter, and seeing that it doesn't happen again. So some very positive things have occurred. And the first of those is making certain that the lines of communication are open, that they're well understood, that there's no gray area in terms of what is supposed to happen when incidents like this occur. And, you know, you can never prevent, you can never give 100% assurance that nothing is ever going to happen. But you absolutely must have procedures and the processes in place to make certain that the response is appropriate and timely.
How much damage, if that's the right word, is done to the reputation of an organization like the community college when this kind of publicity involving a young woman and the police response to her complaints mm-hmm. gets a lot of publicity?
Mm-hmm.
How much damage is done?
Well, I think the damage is obvious, and I think it's been significant. But I And that was communicated, I think, to the community to quite an extent. I think the process of healing, the process of correcting those issues, has been slower as far as being able to disseminate the information. You know, something like that draws a great deal of attention. Dealing with the situation, seeing that it doesn't happen again, doesn't get quite the attention mm-hmm. that it does on the other end of it. And so the thing that I would tell the people of the St. Louis area is the students are as safe on our campuses as we can humanly see to it, mm-hmm. and probably a little more so because we've gone the extra mile and have looked at every single thing we can look at in terms of making certain that those processes and procedures are in place.
You speak of communication. I certainly understand that. What about physical changes of any kind or personnel changes of any kind?
Well, certainly. I mean, there were personnel who are no longer with the college. And part of the study that's going on right now is set to determine exactly how the administration of the organization should be put together. But I can tell you that we have hired an interim person at Merrimack, that we have police chiefs on the other campuses, that our security are all very well tuned in to what the process of communication needs to be, of how that needs to be communicated with our public information people so that information could be disseminated, so that our district administration understands how what the lines of authority are and how things should be handled. And those are all things that honestly just kind of broke down in this process.
When do you expect the report to finally be finalized?
Well, I think we're hoping that in the next few months that it will be forthcoming. We don't want to rush it, but at the same time, we need to – and, of course, we've taken a good deal of action, you know, in the meantime to make certain that it's, you know, that it's in place. But as far as permanent change is concerned and the whole process, we want to take our time and make sure it's done correctly.
So you're satisfied that everything is as it should be at this point?
I am. I feel very good about the safety. Listen, if I didn't feel our students were safe, I would be very, very alarmed. I think they are safe on our campuses. And I think there's, you know, as far as is humanly possible, I think those processes are in place right now I can't say an incident like that won't happen again, but I can feel very, very good about the idea that the way it was communicated, the way it was dealt with, would be different.
You mentioned that enrollment is down. Does this particular situation have anything to do with that, or is that a totally separate issue?
No. I mean, the enrollment has been dropping certainly prior to last April, and I think that's a combination of factors. But there's no question that incident like this is going to affect enrollment. So probably to a small degree, but I don't think that will be a continuing thing. I think the idea that students do feel safe on our campuses, I think the negative impact of that will go away fairly soon. There are certainly other issues that are involved in why the enrollment has gone down, and I can tell you that I'm all about seeing that trend is reversed. And what I certainly hope, the last number of semesters, the enrollment has gone down steadily and steadily. We've gone from 29,000 to just over 21,000. That's a very significant drop.
And that really surprises me, given the times that we're in. I mean, just taking the cost of four-year institutions as one element, not to mention the need for training and retraining, as I indicated in the introduction, mm-hmm. I'm surprised that the numbers are going down.
Well, I have to tell you, you're not the only one surprised. So am I. Yeah. And I think that nationally, enrollments have gone down, you know, to some extent because changes have been made on the federal level to how Pell Grants are awarded. And there are some other issues that, you know, have caused the enrollments, I think, nationally to go down. But you're certainly right. The very affordable cost of a community college education, you know, compared to all the other segments of higher education simply would not indicate that enrollment should be going down at that level. But I think some other things have happened within the organization that need to be fixed, mm-hmm. that the board is very serious about seeing that those things are fixed so that the enrollment decline will stop and that we can start moving back forward.
And why is it happening? If it's happening here and elsewhere, obviously.
Right. Why? Well, I think a lot of the change in the federal financial aid rules, in the way it's administered, that kind of thing, that's had an impact nationally as far as how it's affected other, you know, colleges and universities. And, of course, St. Louis Community College is a unique situation in several ways, and things have happened that have caused the enrollment to drop.
Such as?
I think in our processes of how we work with our students, I think we've needed to – that some change has needed to be made there in terms of how we work with our students, how when a student first arrives on our campus, how we are able to help them go through the processes of getting enrolled, getting admitted, getting enrolled, and that sort of thing.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a break now. We'll bring in Dr. Costello from the Metro East, if you will, mm-hmm. and get her slant on what's going on with her system, and then we'll talk a little bit more about what's going on with the community colleges. We'll continue our conversation with Dennis Michaelis, Interim Chancellor at St. Louis Community College, and we'll be joined by Dr. Georgia Costello, President of the Southwestern Illinois College System in the Metro East. Back in just a moment, this is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. Joining Dr. Dennis Michaelis and me in studio now is Dr. Georgia Costello, the president at Southwestern Illinois College, which has three campuses in the Metro East, in Belleville, Granite City, and Redbud. She is the first woman to hold that post, and we'll begin that conversation in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio and the Beacon Newsroom are following today. As we've reported before, an Oklahoma compounding pharmacy called the Apothecary Shop has supplied Missouri with a drug it's used three times to execute inmates. The Apothecary Shop is not licensed in Missouri. However, it is attempting to become licensed in this state. A Missouri task force that has been studying premature and infant mortality rates released its results today. The group's findings include, among other things, that 1 in 8 babies in Missouri overall is born prematurely. 1 in 6 African-American babies in Missouri is born prematurely. 1 in 6 women in Missouri smoke while pregnant. A Missouri House committee will hear public testimony this afternoon on right-to-work legislation that would restrict the ability of public employee unions to have fees from their members' paychecks automatically deducted. Join St. Louis Public Radio this afternoon for local and regional news and throughout the day on our website at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation about community colleges. And once again, we'll welcome Dr. Georgia Costello from the Metro East. Nice to see you again.
Good afternoon. It's great to be here.
And
thank you.
This is your first opportunity to meet Dr. Michaelis, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir, it is.
Well, were you able to listen to our earlier conversation at all?
Just a little bit, yes, sir.
We were talking about enrollment declines in community colleges. Are you experiencing the same thing over at SWCC?
We've had a pretty steady enrollment. We have, for the last couple of years, I would say, had a percentage or a point or two enrollment decline. But one of the things I'd like to add to what Doctor said is that I think that when your economy is good, you have less of your students coming back to take classes. When the economy is poor, there seems to be more of an impact on jobs, training, and skills, and so subsequently more of them come back to the community college to get those job training skills.
Well, the economy seems to be coming back, unless
yes,
you're
sir.
Looking at the recent stock market, which is something else entirely. Seems to be coming back, but it's still on somewhat shaky ground.
Well, I think we've seen, I hope, the worst. You know, what we all experienced with what was, I guess, as close to the depression that we've ever seen, the recession that we experienced in this country. And I do think that it has had an impact on the student enrollment.
Your student enrollment includes a great many veterans. You're over there,
yes,
by
sir.
Scott Air Force Base. Give me some sense of you know, the numbers, if you will, and how much of your student body are veterans.
The student body at Southwestern Illinois College currently is 1,900 veterans. And 900 of those veterans' dependents. We have the largest population of veterans in the entire state of Illinois at our community college, more than any other college or university in the state of Illinois, and we're very, very proud of that.
Yeah. That's a reflection of our times as well. Are these young men and women who are going to your institution, are they being retrained, would you say, or are they starting from square one?
That's a great question. I'm very glad you asked it because I wanted to speak to it. And I want to give you some information that was given to me by our Vice President of Instruction just a couple of months ago when all of them were applying for school and what they were going to take in their coursework. You know, what we want for them, Don, as opposed to what they want for themselves. I would have thought that the majority of them might be looking at the tech ed or finishing those certificates where they had taken so much coursework in the military, or whether they had been an EMT or someone that worked in the paramedics of one of the branches of the service. But what we found, let me give you an exaggerated statistic here. Out of 200 applications, we found that only 6 of them wanted to go into the field, sir, that they were in when they were in the military. The others went into liberal arts as a choice. So what that did is it was shocking to us. But of course, as you know, Doctor, with the flexibility of community colleges, we did a major shift in what we were thinking because our programs were more geared toward what we thought they would follow up with what they had done. And they've not chosen to do that. Subsequently, the beauty of what we're trying to do in the community college system, because of the flexibility we have with scheduling and trying to meet their needs to get them into the proper placement, we've encouraged them, use those hours you have, get that certificate, while you are continuing your education in the liberal arts field, if that's where you really want to go, so that you do have a job when you are there trying to finish your education with your benefits. So it's been an interesting thing that's occurred.
Yeah, and surprising, obviously.
Very surprising.
Dr. Michaelis, how about here at, with the St. Louis Community College System? A lot of veterans with you as well?
Well, I'll be honest and tell you, I don't have exact numbers. I know that the presence of veterans, you know, on our campuses, I know that the numbers are very significant, but certainly not as much so as at Southwestern. Is that – am I right?
Southwestern? SWCC? Yes, sir. SWCC.
Yep, SWCC. And so it's not nearly the percentage presence, I think, on our campuses. Mm-hmm. But even though the numbers are smaller, doesn't mean that that it's not very important to us. And I think that all of our campuses pay a good deal of attention to their needs. And I think that what we find is that their interest in the courses that, and programs that they want to take, I would describe it as kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. And it's you can't just stereotype them into the area they've been involved in the military.
Mm-hmm. And you're nodding, Dr. Costello.
Yes, obviously. I totally agree with what he's just said.
What do you make, and I'll start with you, Dr. Michaelis, what do you make of President Obama's recent push with regard to training and, I'm sure everyone is familiar with what he's been saying for the last couple of days. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that any time the president makes a pronouncement that is emphasizing the importance of workforce training, I think it helps us all, and I think it helps to emphasize the need and the need, especially for proper funding, for adequate funding to see that these programs are enacted. Now, at the same time, though, I think that it's easy to provide very general kinds of support, and the devil is in the details, as they say, into how those programs are implemented and that kind of thing. I think the federal government probably has plenty of programs in place to fix us all. And it's not just a matter of additional dollars. It's a matter of targeting those dollars so that we're really meeting the needs of students. And I think a lot of times and that we don't really focus on what the workforce needs actually are in the individual communities. You can't just paint a broad swath and say we need to train more this or more that, because I think that for the area of Southwest Illinois, it probably is significantly different than it is for St. Louis and our community college. I mean, because I know it's very different at Florissant Valley campus than it is at our Merrimack campus. And so I think it has to be laser targeted as far as how we get the assistance to the students and define the programs.
Dr. Costello, your thoughts on the president?
I agree with you. And I also think I'd like to add something. I'm very respectful of the president's message and was fortunate enough to attend the first White House summit of all community colleges. There are about 100 of us throughout the nation. That was a great moment in time for community college systems in the history of the service to the students that we serve throughout the nation. But I'd like to say that community colleges, and Doctor, I don't know if you'd agree with this, I think we've been doing exactly what our president just said the other night, and I think actually we've been doing it extremely well because we do have business partners. We do listen to our business partners in our areas, the local communities that we serve. You know, it would be crazy for he and I at St. Louis Community College and at SWCC to train 100 people to go out and install solar panels if there's only 6 jobs when they walk out into the market. Mm-hmm. That would be crazy for us to do that, and it would be a waste of their time and their money. We don't do that. We do really well exactly what he described, and I think we do it effectively to where the certificates or the degrees that our students walk out of the college with when they leave after 2 years, they walk into a job. You know what we have going on in community college systems is this. 54% currently of SWCC students go on for a four-year degree. 46% of them are in a degree or a certificate. And you know what those certificates do, sir? They walk right out into our communities, and they're our firemen, they're our policemen, they're our EMTs, they're our CNAs. They are the communities that he and I serve.
Another thing they do, according to what I've been reading, is, Dr. Michaelis, you can address this, or you both can, of course, is that they generally walk out earning more money than people who have that four-year degree.
Well, I'm a little speechless at that one. No, I think the fact is that it depends on the field that they're going into. And I think one of the really interesting things that's happened over the last several years that I've noticed is that the number of students who have four-year degrees who are now coming to the community college for very targeted training, kinds of training, they're not there to take, you know, just general ed courses. They're obviously there to take things that are very important to them that they believe will help them as far as, you know, their future occupation or advancement in their field or that kind of thing. So I think there are many instances where you're exactly right, where they are able to go out into a field where they can earn probably more than some of the four-year college graduates. Now, obviously, people who graduate from a university with a degree in engineering or, you know, something like that are probably going to make, you know, fairly good money. But generally speaking, you're right.
Yeah, there are a lot of them who are graduating without those very specific degrees who are coming out and they're
right.
Waiting tables. And, I mean, we all know those as,
right.
And living at home. Whereas
right.
If you're a computer technician with a two-year degree, you're liable to be making pretty good money.
I'm really glad that you've honed in on this. I'm appreciative of that question. Let me tell you why. Because part of the president's remarks related to the fact that some of the accountability and how we would be judged as colleges and universities as to our success is going to be determined, if I understood him correctly, on how much money people make when they walk out into a particular job. Well, in all fairness, I don't like to see that as part of the criteria because, quite frankly, you might have a welder that walks out with a certificate after 2 years and he can walk into a position and maybe make $40,000 or $45,000 in his first year out. And then you might have a teacher who's a four-year graduate of a university with a bachelor's degree, and she or he might walk into a position where they're only making 36 in the first year they come out. Are you telling me that that means that the school they walked out of is a failure? I don't agree with it. I hope that assessment can be looked at.
Well, one of the things that I understood the president to say also is the fact, in essence, there are too many chiefs and not enough Indians, that being that everyone wants that four-year degree and then languish looking for a job. And we need more tradespeople, that we're really short-staffed throughout the country in the trades. And this is the service, if you will, the benefit of a community college.
Well, and I don't think there's any doubt about the fact that we are very, very good at identifying what workforce needs in our specific communities, in our individual communities. And in our case, for example, students who are going to Merrimack, it's a different situation than it is at Wildwood mm-hmm. or as it is at the Florissant Valley
sure.
campus. And so I think we're very, very good at really honing in on what the needs are. And, you know, an example that we haven't really talked about are the healthcare fields. Mm-hmm. That's another area, a very good example, where students, if they go through the community college and get the training, many cases, they can go out and stair-step into a degree field later but still have a job skill that they can go to work now because, you know, the real world for people is that they not only need to get an education but they also have children and they also who need to go to school and they have a house payment and, you know, and all those kinds of things. And so they might not be able to just transition directly into and go straight through a career field.
I'd like to get the listening audience into this conversation at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. We'll also take a tweet at STL on air. And while we're talking about job training, let's bring in Lori calling from Belleville. Lori, go ahead. You're on
Hi.
The air.
Hi. Thank you. I just wanted to first of all, praise community colleges. I am a huge fan of them. I started my schooling at a community college, and everything you said about, you know, trades, training, those type of things, I understand, and that's true that, you know, we're short on trades. But I'm so glad that Mrs. Costello brought up the statistics of there are actually more people at SWCC, at least, that graduate going on to four-year colleges, that they use the first 2 years there to get an associate's and then go on to four-year, because I think that is, I don't think that's talked about a lot. I think there's more emphasis that is going to training, job training, to get out right away and do the certificate. But a lot of people need financial help to complete a four-year degree. And it is just a fantastic way to save a huge amount of money to basically get a freshman sophomore years out of the way. And most colleges accept students as juniors when you have an associate's degree.
Lori, thank you. Thank you for it. That's a very important point. The dollars saved is huge.
May I say something? We've done something rather bold at Southwestern Illinois College, and that is we've started doing price comparisons of what the affordability is for an education. And we've looked at what the affordability is in regard to our students who could be our students or another college or university students, where we are and what you get with the first 2 years at a community college, what your savings can be that you can then add to your junior and your senior year of college, and then probably even going on into your master's, the savings that you literally have from attending the first 2 years of a community college. I did it myself. My husband did it. All of my children. I've had two grandsons that have now done it. It's the right way for you to get a good, very solid base without breaking the bank, so to speak.
And I should point out that your husband went on to do all right for himself. Former Congressman Jerry Costello, for those who don't know,
well, thank you.
Just recently retired. And give our regards to him, by the
thank
way.
You.
I'm sure you would make the same point, Dr. Michaelis, about the dollar savings.
Well, certainly. I think, and it just goes without saying, but my permanent residence is in Texas, in Waco, Texas. And I was president of the community college there for 21 years, McLennan Community College. Baylor University is in that community as well. It's about $40,000 a year to go to Baylor. And at our community college, it's the tuition is similar per credit hour to what it is at the community college at St. Louis. And one doesn't have to have a lot of math skills to figure 40,000 times 4, if you get a four-year degree, is $160,000. If you only have to spend 2 years of that paying $40,000, you can afford a degree at a private, very good four-year university, and you can probably do it for $10,000 a year at the community college.
Right. Go ahead, Dr. Costello, then I have to take a break.
All right. I just would like to say, in all due respect to community colleges all over this nation, about 1,200 of them, we service people from 8 to 80.
Yeah.
8. Hmm. I mean, we have the whole gambit that we service there, so it's a unique college setting when you're there.
It's not only people going back for retraining and starting their education. There are lifetime
college
learners.
College for kids, dual credit, you name it.
Sure.
It's there.
I have to take that break. We'll come back, and I'll ask those who have been very patiently waiting online to continue to do so. We'll take calls when we come back. My guests in studio are Dr. Dennis Michaelis, Interim Chancellor of the St. Louis Community College System, Dr. Georgia Costello, President of the Southwestern Illinois College System. We're talking, obviously, about community colleges. Back to continue this conversation in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back as we continue our conversation on community colleges with Dr. Dennis Michaelis, Interim Chancellor of St. Louis Community College, and Dr. Georgia Costello, President of the Southwestern Illinois College System. I want to go right to the phones and get a couple of calls in. Anne Marie and Baldwin, you've been very patient. Thank you for being so, and go ahead, please.
Thank you. I wanted to say that we have one daughter currently at the community college that's getting ready to graduate, and she was there during the unfortunate incident. And during that time, the community college was excellent at communicating with the parents, especially I felt as a parent of an 18-year-old. And my daughter has never at all questioned her safety. We feel completely safe sending our daughter there. As a matter of fact, we have another daughter who will be attending there soon on the A-plus program, which is a phenomenal program that has allowed our children to even consider being able to go to a four-year college and graduating with a four-year degree. I do have a question for the chancellor, which is one thing that has challenged my daughter, and that is the consistency with the instruction. And it seems to be across disciplines. There's not one area that has stood out more than another, but one instructor will present a syllabus and a course outline and follow it, and another one will present it and never go back to it, and it will not seem to even give study notes or give study notes, and then those study notes won't even appear on a test. And it just seems to be there isn't a consistency. Some fly by the seat of their pants, some do things very regimented, and it's just been very frustrating. But I will say on the positive side, every day my daughter comes home, and she's not like about what she learned. She's more excited about the variety of people that she's met, the different races, the ages, the backgrounds, and she's always like, let me tell you who I met today. And it's just exciting to have that dinner conversation. And I'll go off the air now to hear your response.
All right.
Thank you.
Dr. Michaelis, let's give that one to you. She said a lot of things I know you're very happy to hear.
Oh, of course I am. And I think that one of the things about community colleges nationwide that we all celebrate is the diversity that we represent. The access, the opportunity that we give for all students, all races, ages, as has already been referenced, is phenomenal. The community college is America's invention. There was really no such thing as a community college prior to really the 60s when they went from junior college concept to the community college concept. The other thing that I would mention in terms of the first part of the caller's remarks having to do with consistency of instruction, the thing that I would say is that we are always, always focused on the quality of instruction. And I think that, you know, by and large, we do an excellent job of seeing to it that we hire the very best faculty and that we have the very best people put in those positions that we can possibly find. However, there is going to be a level of inconsistency across any faculty in terms of the freedom to teach, that faculty members, you really cannot completely dictate how a faculty member teaches, what the method of instruction is, that sort of thing. And so it will differ from campus to campus and from faculty member to faculty member, department to department.
Or, Dr. Costello, from classroom to classroom in a four-year institution, a two-year institution, high school,
absolutely,
wherever.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things, too, we have about 160 full-time faculty, and the rest of ours are 700 to 800 part-timers. And so they come from all different walks of life, many of them experts in the fields that they're teaching. And so the diversity there causes for a multitude of differences in teaching styles.
Right. You know, I have an email here that I received through Facebook today. It's Bob writes, when I recruited basketball players to come to Forest Park Community College, I told them they would be taught by a professor with either a master's degree or a PhD in their field. Mm-hmm. If they go to a major university, they likely will be taught by a grad assistant working toward a grad degree. Mm-hmm. The community college education is superior. What do you think?
Well, I know when I first landed at SWCC, I did some interviewing with some students just to hear what their responses were because it was new to me, too. And one of the mentions that was made was in that very topic. Mm-hmm. And that was, you know, Dr. Costello, I'm really thrilled to be here because, number one, there's about 19 kids in my class and my teacher knows my name. Secondly, my teacher teaches. I don't have a grad student. This was a transfer student. And she said, and thirdly, my teacher teaches, no disrespect to this, but she said she teaches in English and I can understand everything she says. So that was words of wisdom for me to live by and learn from.
Bob makes a valid point, doesn't he, Dr. Michaelis?
Well, he does. But and I'll tell you, the thing that I would simply point out is that as I have come to St. Louis Community College, I've been on each of our campuses multiple times. And just an example, I was on the Merrimack campus Friday afternoon and given a tour. And I want to tell you, no one in the world needs to apologize for the level of instruction, the quality of instruction. I want to tell you, and it's not just Merrimack, it's every campus we have. Our faculty are very, very good as far as being up to date with the technology, incorporating that into the instruction in the real world. And so I would say I put them up against anyone, and certainly in no way would be critical of universities and that sort of thing. But let me just end my comment by saying this. Both of my sons went to community college for the first year or two. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I can give you any better endorsement than that. And the level of instruction here in St. Louis I think it's phenomenal.
Let's bring in Bob calling from Kirkwood. He's been a teacher for 35 years. Bob, teaching at community college or where? Bob in Kirkwood, are you there?
Don, you've actually already read my comment to your post.
Oh, you're double-teaming us, huh?
Well, I'm double-teaming you. Actually, I didn't know you were going to make comments to that. But I want to say this, too. I have met Dr. Michaelis, and I will tell you, we're real fortunate, and I can say this as a retired member of the Board of Trustees, where I was 6 years after I retired from 2004 to 2010. And Dr. Michaelis is a down-to-earth good guy. The only problem he has is that he has too close an affiliation with the Kansas Jayhawks, and I'm a Kansas State Wildcat.
All right, Bob, that is duly noted and found totally unacceptable, I'm sure.
So. Right now.
All right, Bob, thanks for the call. Let's bring in Bill calling from St. Louis. Go ahead, Bill.
Yes, I'm a big fan of community colleges. I've taught at three of your campuses in the past. I recently worked as a recruiter for private business schools. There were 100 different ones. I don't remember all their names, but you'd be familiar with them, Kaplan and Everest and some others. And they seemed to do a good job. But when I was talking to the people on the phone, I felt like saying, why don't you apply to community college where it's less expensive and probably just as good, if not better? And I was wondering why our community colleges, and I didn't hear the whole show, so if you've dealt with this already, I apologize. Why our community colleges can't expand to accommodate those students who are now going to private business colleges for respiratory therapists and medical assistants and the usual paraprofessional and professional degrees that kids are going to private schools for and paying, I don't know, $20,000 or $25,000 a year or whatever it is.
All right. Dr. Casella, do you want to respond to that?
His first name?
Bob. Bill, I'm sorry. Bill.
Bill, at Southwestern Illinois College, we do have instruction in all of those areas. Not only do we have instruction in all of those areas, but very credible instruction where our students are sought after for many employers. Our nurses have great standing in the last 3 years alone, 100% pass rate on all the boards. Our rad techs, about 96% pass rate. Many of the other areas that you have just described, we do have courses of instruction for degrees and certificates in those areas.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Michaelis, any thoughts?
Well, I would simply echo the comments that were just made. And I have to tell you, it's always been one of the great mysteries of life to me to try to answer the question that you asked. Other than it's just individual choice. I would never say anything negative, but I think it's a very valid question of, you know, if the instruction is going to be even just the same, and of course I would be prejudiced to think that it's probably better, but why would you, even if it were the same, why would you pay a lot more money to do it just because it's a, you know, a private organization. And I think a lot of that has to do, frankly, with marketing and that sort of thing.
That's an important part of it. Mm-hmm. I think we can take one more quick call. Brett in St. Louis is up next. Go ahead, Brett.
Hey, this is Brett Williams. I teach at Forest Park Community College. I teach in the art program, and there's a lot of talk about, you know, job training and career-type oriented things for the community college. But what I just like people to know that, you know, you can also train to be an artist or a theater person or any of the, you know, fine arts or things like that to also get a job. I mean, I teach and I'm also an exhibiting artist that sells work. So we need to expand the idea of what is job training and how it relates to community college. And I think we have a great art program district-wide.
Brett, thank you so much for the call. Do you want to respond, either of you?
Well, no. he's exactly right. Yeah. And I think each of our campuses have, you know, outstanding art programs and are great opportunities. And they're in small classes where they, you know, they have a lot of very experienced faculty working with them. And I've witnessed those things firsthand. And certainly it's not just in the art area, but any of the transfer areas where they can go on to a four-year university and get their degree. They can do it much more reasonably as far as the expense is concerned. I don't think any of us would need to apologize for the level of instruction. In fact, you can find a lot of studies that prove that students who actually transfer do better during their junior year than native students do. That's a phenomenal statistic that is consistent across the United States.
I have seen that. Our time is beginning to wind down, but let's talk for a moment or two, which is all the time we have, about the future. Dr. Costello, I know that you're thinking in terms of various things that can happen to make everything better. What's ahead for you? What sort of initiatives are you looking at?
Well, one of the things that our president asked us to do was to redesign high schools and our partnership with colleges and how we look at that. One of the things we're doing at Southwestern Illinois College as we speak, we're in the beginning of our third year this year with a program called Running Start, where we have gone to high schools and started out in Granite City High School with 10 students in a program where we test out sophomores in the high school. If they pass our compass tests and have a grade point average high enough to become a student as a freshman at Southwestern Illinois College, they take their first 2 years of college at SWIC, graduate from SWIC at the same time that they receive their high school diploma. What is great about this is we started with 10, we now have 47, and this next year we're going to be well over 100 with 8 different counties participating with varieties of high schools. It's a great opportunity.
Did I understand that correctly? They graduate from high school and they've already got 2 years of college
under
their belt? Yes,
sir. And they come to our campus for their classwork. They can still stay involved in their high school if they want to, but this initiative is becoming, it's hot. It's becoming very popular with parents and a great option for high school students, maybe if they don't want to be involved in extracurricular or they still have a tie to their high school, don't get me wrong, but they want their first 2 years of college paid for free.
That is something. Only 30 seconds left. What do you think, Dr. Michaelis?
Well, I think the whole dual credit, dual enrollment is an area of significant growth and importance to St. Louis Community College. I think we're expanding into that much more aggressively now than we ever have. And I think it's very important for students to be able to get a heads up. And another thing that we're really focusing on trying to is on online classes being made available in a much more general way.
That's where it seems to be going to a very, very large degree. I have to stop it there. I want to thank you both so much for being with us. Dr. Georgia Costello, nice to see you again.
Nice to see you, sir. Thank you for inviting us.
Keep up the good work. And Dr. Michaelis, again, welcome to St. Louis. And
thanks.
Good luck to you in the next year and a half or so that you're going to be
here.
Thank you. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk with the MoDOT Project Director of the Mississippi River Bridge, which opens next weekend. We'll discuss how it was built and what it's expected to do to traffic in the region, or for traffic in the region. We'll also talk about the new website, Real-Time STL, about its role as a local aggregator of news and how it fits into the ever-evolving world of journalism. Archived versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. The program is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thanks for listening. I'm Don Marsh.